When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Do you trust someone who doesn't like a Pop-Tart?
Dirt.
Can I give you a hot take that might make people look at me and call me an idiot? I think Pop-Tarts are disgusting.
Sprague.
I used to raw dog Pop-Tarts religiously.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm anti-Pop-Tart.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Welcome back in. Our number two, Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1 The Fan. We call it the Fan Sports Network. That's 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app and YouTube. Good morning. Happy Tuesday, everybody. It is a Mail Sack Tuesday. Sorry to randomly start chuckling. I was just reminded listening to the ending of that open. My 14-year-old daughter has heard me use that term, and she was just explained what raw dogging means. Oh, and that was not a fun conversation for my wife.
You go ahead and handle this one, honey. I'll let you deal with this one.
Well, we were having hot dogs a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, you're right. You don't want any. That means you don't like ketchup and mustard and relish. That's what it means.
I cited you and I said, well, dirt raw dogs, hot dogs
no,
all the time.
No! No! The kind of. What? No!
And
there's no recovering from this.
She asked the wife, what's.
I want to get a taste of, like, what that. Well, yeah. How big does that feel?
What's raw dog? And my wife was like, this is going to be uncomfortable. Just so you know.
Just let's let you know right
going
now.
Going forward. And I think she was utterly disgusted by my existence.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a hard one to overcome right there.
Hashtag girl dad.
I'm going to hashtag leave the room. And I'm going to hashtag let the ladies talk this one through. Okay. I'll be in the living room if you need me.
Oh, man. It's always something. We got a lot to get to here in the second hour of the radio program. Good morning. Hope the Tuesday's going well. Want to remind you guys to join us June 23rd. As Toyota presents the Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms Golf Club. Foursomes on sale now. You can choose between the morning or afternoon rounds. Hurry up and sign up because they do fill up fast. It's the most fun day in golf with activations and tastings around the course and the infamous Angels Envy Bourbon Par 3, the sixth hole. The volcano, as it's known.
Yes.
On the streets of Langdon Farms where we'll all be hanging out. We'll be there. Danny Patrick, Luke, Isaac Souk, all posted up heckling and admiring your shots. Mostly admiring because I'm a terrible golfer, so what am I going to heckle you for? And, of course, we'll keep you fed post-round meal thanks to Matt's Barbecue, already thinking about the brisket there.
Mm.
You can head to 1051thefan.com. Click on the Fan Golf Classic logo for info and to sign up today. The Fan Golf Classic presented by Toyota is also brought to you by Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors, George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law, Battery Exchange, Maestro Dobel Tequila, Philbrook Law, 1-800-DIVORCE, Roto-Rooter, Illegal Mezcal, and Window Nation.
Give it to him? We give it to him?
You got to stop the pre-chuckle.
Did he hit it?
I hit it.
Yeah, I think he hit it.
I hit it.
I think he hit it. Okay.
Come on.
I'm just checking. I'm just making sure.
Raw dog.
Judge's ruling said yes.
We got it.
He gave you two thumbs up.
Dude,
good.
We're good.
You're good to go.
Everybody antsy in their pantsy for a little play-in action tonight. We got our Blazers on the television.
We do.
Welcome to the main stage to the play-in, the Blazers.
It's been a while since we've been on the main stage.
Yeah, we've been a backstage 1 p.m. person for a long time.
We're the lunch crowd lately.
Tuesday lunch.
Tuesday lunch.
We got a good crab dip from 2 to 3 if you want to come try it out.
Bottle service is discounted right now.
And
you want to go back and buy me a drink?
Now we're on pour me, you know, pour some sugar on me. 7 p.m. on a Friday night. Let's go.
baby!
Hey, I'm looking forward to it. Jeremy Grant's been elevated to questionable, so we might have the full roster, sans Yang Onsen. We might not be, you know.
Well, he's healthy. He can play. He's available to get minutes in if you need him.
Questionable for minute distribution. Jeremy Grant questionable with injury delegation. Yep, yep. But a lot of people think he is potentially going to be ready to play as our beloved Blazers in the big 7-8 matchup. 7 o'clock tonight. Are you ready for it?
I was a little surprised to see us be 3.5 point underdogs based on the
opened way at 4.5.
Oh, so it's come down a little bit.
It's being bet down.
Yeah, just based on the way the teams have played the last couple of weeks, and I, you know, certainly pointed out some flaws in who Portland has and has not beaten. But let's also not pretend as if Phoenix is some world beater in there, and their season has essentially ended in a bigger thud because they've had a little bit more challenging of a schedule, and it's not like they've beaten anybody with a pulse seemingly in a while. So I guess you give the home court advantage, but I feel like Portland's been playing better in the back half of the year. And then you add in the Jeremy Grant news from yesterday that he might be able to go tonight, and you might have a fully healthy roster for the first time since
it's been a hot minute, buddy.
Maybe happened for like 6 total minutes of the entire season, and so we'll see. I don't know if Grant's gonna end up going or not. Maybe they hold him out to wait and see how the game goes because he's not 100%, and you get him in the next game if you lose, or you get a little layoff here if you are able to win the game tonight and you get the 7 seed. I can certainly feel how I want to feel about what's best for them long term and what I want the outcomes of the games to be, but that doesn't change the fact that it is at least nice to have a Blazer storyline to talk about in the middle of April with something going on that people will be watching and following. And this is the one thing I always chuckle at when people think I'm being critical of the team or I'm not a fan. Like, I want nothing more than the Blazers to be good. You know why? It makes my job exponentially easier when they're a fun story to talk about, they're a compelling story to talk about, and they play up into the month of May. It gives us topics going into the summer. And so I'm glad at least to have that aspect of it, that it seems like one of those games that a lot of our audience will be watching tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see how they play, and we'll get to react to it tomorrow. And so for those reasons, I'm really excited about tonight. I hope that they lose because I think long-term it is beneficial for them to have a 2% chance in the lottery, but everybody can agree to disagree on that topic. And now we get to watch, not playoff, but play-in basketball, and if they win, they're in the playoffs.
The whole, like, lose, don't lose thing, like, I'm kind of just way past that because I just think the other two teams involved in the play-in blow.
It might not matter. They could still lose the game.
They very well could lose tonight, but you mentioned the recent play. I'll just use the last 2 weeks, and this is on cleaning the glass. Points per 100 possession defensively, Portland is fourth in the league the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
Now, you can cite the competition all you want.
It's not been great.
But Phoenix lately on the defensive end, they have fallen to 11th.
Yep.
When you look at offense, guess who's been the better offense between the two teams? Us. So, like, on the season, Phoenix is a little bit ahead of both offense and defensive ratings and metrics. But in the last 2 to 3 weeks, when you look at the two teams, Portland's been the better team.
Right.
Now, that could boil down to schedule. And I think Portland, they said it after the All-Star break, had the easiest schedule, I think, by a win-loss perspective.
Yes.
But overall, they've handled their business. And I just – the vibes with them going in versus – I don't know where Phoenix's confidence is going to be given that Booker has come back. And Booker's been – dude, Booker's one game short of being eligible, and his numbers are all NBA level.
Right.
He's 26-6-4.
I mean, he's the kind of guy who can win the game for them single-handedly.
Yes, he could go for 45 points
tonight.
And that's
too much for you to overcome.
Absolutely. The thing about this is I was thinking about this morning before I left the house. In when you talk about the play-in and trying to get into the playoff and potentially get the 7 seed to take on the Spurs – I really think they're going to win, so I've already put it in Blazers plus the 4.5. So I got it before it dropped to 3.5.
Might as well take money line if you think they're going to win.
I'm probably going to double down on
better odds for sure.
That being said, I was thinking about the possibility of them winning, and I'm going to give you the most Portland thing you've heard from me maybe all season.
Ooh.
I got super kind of excited about the idea of going to the Moda Center to watch Wemby in the playoffs.
I mean, it's Wemby. He's a unicorn. He's a freak. And it's, to see him in the postseason. The first time, by the way, this would be his first ever playoff series. He's never been in the playoffs before.
And that's the other element. If they win it, we can talk about that angle tomorrow in the matchup, and we'll have all that to build going into the weekend because all the play-in teams will play their first playoff games on Sunday. And we, if we win, will be the last game of the night on the Peacock Network.
Sunday night.
On NBC against San Antonio and Wemby. I saw him play last year. It was remarkable. I had really good seats.
Can't compute in your brain
watching
him.
It does not make any sense watching him move. And so the idea that you have that with a playoff logo on the Moda Center court, man, I don't expect them to win that series.
But damn, is that fun. The idea of it, especially considering we're going on, this is our fifth season. We, four previous seasons, have not been able to taste that at all.
No, the Blazers have been irrelevant from March on for the last 4 years.
Now, how you build and what you do in the offseason is a different conversation that I'm not trying to have. But what I will say is, where I've come around, if you're going to be like bad, be the worst. But if you're trying to build and you think you can make the requisite moves to become a good team, which they internally feel that way, I have morphed my opinion from either be the best or be the worst to, I think winning matters. And I know people don't always agree with that take, but I do think it's important to be, if you think you're taking the right steps and you're going to make the moves, winning big games and being in the playoffs, that matters. We can laugh at Neil Olshey all we want.
Sure.
We only laugh at him because he never made the one trade. You know what Neil Olshey always did for the team?
Yeah, in the playoffs every year.
That was good enough to be in the playoffs. Yeah. Whether you want to give Dame or Neil or who.
Dame had a lot of credit for
no
that.
No doubt about it. Sure. So did LaMarcus early in Dame's career.
Yeah.
But to the point of, at least the roster was good enough around those guys to be in the playoffs.
Yep.
And they haven't sniffed it. So I know that there's a grand conversation people can have. I got excited about the idea that they could potentially win tonight, and then you would have the idea of at least seeing Wimby in Portland in a playoff game, and maybe
two games
win
at least.
That game. But
right.
It's fun to watch him, and we know that building rocks when the playoffs are going on.
Yeah, look, I certainly understand the argument of the benefit of it, and depending on how your young guys play and how many games they end up playing, can it be beneficial for them long-term to get a little taste of the action and some experience? I certainly acknowledge that. I still more lean in the camp of, I'd rather have every bullet available this offseason because I have the bigger picture in mind.
I totally get that.
And having a lottery pick this year to me is more enticing, and not losing your first round pick.
But you would agree that they're probably, like, you just look at the other two teams. It's not an impossibility, but you look at the way everybody's playing right now in the play-in, and you probably go, not going to happen.
I certainly understand that point as well. I also have seen Portland make the most threes they've ever made in the history of their franchise and blow an 18-point lead in the last week and then play a shorthanded Spurs team and basically get dominated from start to finish. Mm-hmm. So a lot of our wins, again, to my point from yesterday, have come against really bad teams. They've beaten and dominated the Clippers twice in the last couple of weeks, and so that gives you a ton of hope if you play that game. There's not a lot of fear there with Golden State if you do end up in that situation, and they are to beat the Clippers if you lose tonight, but there's this Steph Curry factor in the back of my mind, and tonight I think you hit on the biggest one for Phoenix, and that is Devin Booker's a machine, and if he goes for 48 points and is dynamic from start to finish, and it makes everything easier for the other guys around him, and you get one of those random home playoff game performances from a role player who just can't miss a shot. Like, Phoenix has beaten us this year sans Devin Booker. They beat us in Portland, and they didn't even have him in the game. And so I'm not putting anything past this team. I certainly think they should be a favorite to come out of the play-in to win the 7th seed, and I agree with picking them tonight. But I also don't have the level of confidence based on what I've seen the last couple of weeks to think it's a surefire thing. If you do want to feel confident, I did see this from our buddy Gunderson yesterday, where he looked at their starting lineup the last handful of weeks has been Scoot, Drew, Denny, Tamani, and Klingon. And their net rating is plus 12.4, which is by far their best lineup of the entire season. Now, guys have been in and out. It's kind of a tough thing to calculate because
also
how many...
schedule.
Right, schedule and who have they played and who was available when they played them. And this guy's in, this guy's out. But according to Cleaning the Glass, of all the starting lineups they have used, that has been their most efficient. And the turnovers have been down. The other lineups, you know, suffer more turnovers per game. So there's a lot of benefits to that. And maybe these guys have found a little continuity. If Jeremy comes back tonight, he's coming out the bench. He's not coming in the starting lineup. And I would imagine the same exists for Shaedon Sharpe. So you got a little continuity here at the end. We'll see what they do tonight. I get the argument of impactful games, and I know this city would love having Game 3 and Game 4 if they are to win tonight with San Antonio in town.
Since March 31st, 7 games for the Suns. They're 3-4, and their losses are at Orlando, at Charlotte by 20.
Ooh.
They beat the Bulls. They lost to the Houston Rockets pretty sizably.
Yep.
They barely beat the Dallas Mavericks. And they got housed by the Lakers, and then they won their last game, but OKC literally
played
nobody.
Yeah, so they killed them in the last game.
It's not like, you know, their schedule a little more difficult, no doubt, but they also...
they've had some bad losses in there, no doubt about it.
They've had some bad losses, yeah.
No doubt.
I want to continue on this. We'll talk a little bit about the Phoenix team, and then also I want to ask this question to kick off the second hour, and you can chime in at 503-864-6326. Have you come to care about the play-in at all? Do you like that there's a play-in for the playoffs? We could talk about that aspect of it, and we'll get to that coming up next on 105.1 The Fan.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt,
Every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Jordan Sprague with you this morning.
Let's go!
Yeah, let's go indeed. Let's go.
One listener pointing out, where did this go? Sprague, it is fun. The playoff games will be fun. The problem is it's going to be the same fun year after year.
Yeah, I mean.
And I think that's the thought that is in the back of my, like, I get the argument. I totally understand it. How many years are you in that? Because we got to this at the end of the Dame CJ run where there was the one outlier to the conference finals, and every other year felt the same, where it was the team that was good enough to be in the playoffs. Maybe you'd catch a banged-up Clippers team and you'd win a first round.
Yeah.
And then the second round would be non-competitive and your season would come to an end. And
I totally get that.
There was never that actual hope. And so I'm not going to do that to this team or this franchise right now because there's a new owner in town and we'll see where things go. And they certainly have ammunition for the future to improve their roster. And so I'm not going to put the sins of the past group on the new group quite yet, but that fear is there for me of, it's great to be in the playoffs. How many years in a row of being the seventh seed until you say, okay, I'm tired of being a seventh seed and just getting bounced right away?
So I'll just use the team that last had any sort of run here, right? So they lose LaMarcus. They come back in with that kind of hodgepodge group with CJ and Dame.
Made the playoffs right away.
That was the year that famously he was like a five-year window. And remember that interview he did? And then we're like, okay, this team's probably going to not be very good. They'll get a good pick. They end up surprisingly going 44-38. They made the playoffs. That Clipper team, Chris Paul broke his hand. Blake Griffin got hurt.
Yep.
They were shorthanded. We won that series in six. Surprisingly, we lost in the conference semis. And I think after that year, we saw that and we said, that's super impressive. That was really fun. I hate that Clipper team. That was great. They did that to Doc
we
Rivers.
We took a big step. We're
Look
in the playoffs.
Us.
How about that?
And then we all went in the summer, I think, with the same mindset. What can we do?
How do we build on it?
They brought it back. Lost first round.
Yep.
And we're like, okay, there you go. There's more the reality of where you sit. What are we doing? Run it back. Lost the first round again. All right. Can you make the move? They didn't. They kept it back. Oh, my God. Dame hit a shot against the Thunder. Oh, my God. We won in four overtimes against a young baby Jokic. Oh, my God. We're in the Western Conference Finals.
How about that?
And then that didn't work. It fizzled. And then the next season, they end up being the 3-6 against the Pelicans. They did largely nothing.
Yeah.
They got swept by the 6 seed, which I highlighted in the moment. I think that was the third time ever a 6 seed had beaten a 3 seed.
That happened
NBA.
Before the conference finals.
No, that was...
The year after the conference finals was the bubble.
2019. You're right. 17-18 was the year before.
Because they were a 3 seed and got swept, and that was the year we were all like, you got to do something, right? And they didn't.
And then they,
magically went to a conference finals and were like, oh. And then
that's my apologies.
Like,
then it was the bubble, the Lakers, and then it was the Nugget.
series, and then it blew up.
Well, blew up Stotts.
Yes. Well, and then O'Shea got fired the next year.
Yeah.
And by the next deadline, Cronin traded everybody.
My whole point is, like, it's not wrong for a listener to say, Sprague, yeah, it's fun until it keeps happening. I totally get that. And when that gets to that point, I will fully say, can we do something? And that's my point is, like, if they get to the thing and they lose, it's not a... It's going to be, what are you doing this summer? Yeah, because running this back ain't going to make me happy as a sports fan.
Right. If you can't win tonight, or when would the next game be? Thursday? If you lose both those games and you're still not good enough still not good enough to be a play-in team, I would hope that would be... That's the one silver lining of all this for me, is that I feel like it's a wake-up call either way, that maybe they're more competitive. They win tonight and they're competitive against the Spurs. And you think, all right, maybe there's a little bit more here than I gave it credit for.
Sure.
And all the people nationally are saying the Blazers are this fun sleeper team to watch on NBA League Pass. That's, wow, all right, maybe there's not quite as big of a gap there. Or the other side of it is, if you lose tonight and you lose on Friday and you can't beat this Suns team, who we all made fun of in the offseason.
Now your new owner kind of understands where you are and what you go need to do.
And then Kawhi or you know.
You can't beat this Clipper team that you've been housing, or this Warrior team that's Steph and nobody else. Like, that's a wake-up call.
That should, I hope, be a wake-up call going into the offseason.
I would also argue, and this is all my point is, I would argue that getting to the 7 seed or the 8 seed, whatever you end up doing, being swept or losing in 5 to either one of those teams isn't like some grandiose, how disappointing. But to me, what I'm saying is, it will be a wake-up call now. All right, you took your step. What are you going to do? Take one more step.
How do you go another step?
You cannot keep doing what we did in the last regime of, we make it. I got tired of that. It was like, yo, make the move.
Yeah, at some point you got to do something.
And they never made the move. And so that's all I'm saying is, like, I'm excited about the idea of Wemby beating us and seeing that in person, or seeing if we can be feisty.
Yeah.
Win or lose to me, and it's largely going to be a loss in my head, I'm excited about it. And then I'm excited to go into the summer and say, okay, you took your step. What are you doing this summer to take another? Because just telling me Dame's back with the rest of this roster does nothing for me.
Yep.
I'm happy to see Dame in a Blazer uniform. I don't really know if I understand the fit outside of the impact he has off the court and to the organization. I don't know if I understand the roster situation, but that's not going to be good enough for me. It will be probably going to be in the 7th seed again, and maybe you fight for the 6th seed because Dame's there and he's a little better off the Achilles than we thought. But that's about it. And that, to me, I don't want to be in that consistent bubble I just don't want to be stuck in the mud.
I mean, it's purgatory. It's purgatory of the NBA. You're not good enough, you're not bad enough. You're good enough to make the playoffs, but you're not good enough to actually do anything, and you're not bad enough to land a difference maker.
I want them to take the playoff step, but then I want them to keep adjusting.
Be aggressive.
To be aggressive and not be good or happy with, we're the 7-6 seed and we make money.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't want to be that.
The other thing about getting into a 7-game playoff series, I think I'll learn a lot about Tiago Splitter, because now you have one team.
Yeah.
What do you do tactically? They come out, first game, and they kind of handle you. What adjustments can you make? How do you utilize the different pieces and parts that you have to do something different strategically, rotationally, to try to figure out how to beat a team that, their roster looks better than yours on paper.
I mean, the other positive of it for me is just kind of getting to see some of your young guys in this setting and situation for the first time in their careers.
I mean, it's a pseudo road playoff game for a lot of these.
Tonight it is,
yeah.
I mean, like, Scoot and Shaden and Donovan Klingon have never played in an environment in a situation like this in their NBA careers. I know Klingon won a national championship at UConn, and that's a massive game, but there's just a difference when you're at the pro level and the competition and all of that. And so it's going to be a difficult environment. I know Drew's won a title and he's been in playoff games. Jeremy randomly, like, if he ends up playing tonight, did I think I saw a stat the other day. I said he has not played a game in April in the last 5 years.
He hadn't played, like, past March 15th ever as a Blazer.
Like,
I can't remember what the date was, but it's a March date.
That blew me away. So he could play in April for
this
the first time.
This was his first time playing. Like, I think it's March 20th.
Right.
He had never played past March 20th as a Blazer. This was his first season doing it.
Like, Rob Wills obviously played in big games. So you got some guys on the roster who have been through it before.
Oh, we got a lot of experience in it.
Right.
But
the tough part, like, Monty's never been in a game like this in his career. I think the other part of it, though, that is kind of difficult in terms of what that means long term is how many of those pieces are actually a part of the long-term
plan. No doubt about it.
So I can say it's impactful for Scoot and Shaden. Will it be impactful for us in 3 years? Mm. Are they still going to be on the roster? I think two will be here. I think Klingon will be here. I'd be pretty surprised if they were gone. So those are the two main guys that I'm looking at. The other ones, it could be impactful. I just don't know if they're a part of the long-term plan.
That's a fair takeaway. And if they get swept by the Spurs or the Thunder, I'm not going to have some grandiose playoff experience thing, because I don't really buy that.
If you get swept and the games aren't competitive, that's not experience. That's just you got your ass whooped and now it's the offseason. Go to Cancun.
Well, so I want to bring up something that Swag just touched on. Tiago Splitter. Because it's not just the playoffs. I think the play-in. Like, tonight we could learn some stuff about Tiago. Coaching in a big game with some stakes, something on the line. That's interesting. Is he coaching for his job? I think is a fair thing to be asking out loud. I'll tell you what I mean by that. We have a Drew Holiday cut I want to play, and then a little bit on the Phoenix Suns team that everybody thought was going to be just dog water.
Here they are.
And they're better than you by a record standpoint, and they're going to be hosting tonight. So talk a little bit about those things coming up next on 105.1 The Fan. You can get your mail sack questions in at 503-864-6326.
Mail sack!
We'll get to that at the top of the final hour of the program. Coming up in the top of the third hour, John Bloom, the radio play-by-play man for the Phoenix Suns, will join us. Give us the lowdown on the old Phoenix Suns in the play-in matchup.
I'm curious how they feel about this. I mean, they're in a unique spot where they've been in finals in the last handful of years. They were relevant, like they Kevin Durant. Like, they've had big names and big players, and this was a bit of a reset after a disappointing year. So are they excited, or are they just, we'll see how it goes?
They got a new owner, too.
I know, a new owner the last couple of years. Yeah. I'm curious where Suns fans are at going into this game.
We'll talk with John Bloom coming up at 8 a.m., so we talked about the experience factor. I'm not one that buys there's a ton of experience for young players if they lose in four or five games in the playoffs. I'm not a big believer in it. I think you can get a start of it, a taste of it, and then you have to take the requisite steps going forward. Drew Holiday does have playoff experience, including sweeping our beloved Blazers once upon a time as a Pelican.
Yes, he did.
And he talked about talking to his young teammates on what postseason atmospheres and games can feel like.
Intensity is different. What's on the line is different. The rest are different. I don't know that it's going to get me fine, but it's a lot more aggressive. I think the games come down to possessions a lot more.
Is there anybody that says less with less enthusiasm, but also the way he says it, you're weirdly like, yep, got it.
Yep, it's a good point. You're on to something there, Drew.
It's loud. Don't turn the ball over.
Yeah, very serious.
You got it, Drew. I'm in. I'm all in, Drew.
Well, I think he hit on something that's the most interesting thing about the game, not only tonight, but depending on where they go from here, and that is our best player is certainly having a phenomenal season. Denny Avdija, 24-7-7 is a great year. Could be all NBA. We'll wait and see at the end of the season. Hit the game threshold necessary. The bulk of his, bulk might not be the right word, a good chunk of his offensive production
comes
from the free throw line.
Uh-huh.
And I remember we had this conversation about SGA going into the playoffs last year of how is he going to get officiated, how many times will he shoot free throws. Now, he's the MVP of the league. Denny's not the MVP of the league. They're not the same player.
He's gotten the whistle to the level of MVP.
But he's gotten a lot of whistles. And so that to me is one of the biggest things I'm circling for tonight. How aggressive is he going to be? Mm-hmm. How many whistles does he get? How many free throws does he get? Because there are games in which if he doesn't get the benefit of the whistle and he doesn't shoot 13, 14, 15 free throws and he doesn't have a dynamic shooting night, his impact on the offensive end is not completely nullified.
But it's like 16 points.
But it's not quite
points.
The same level of impact. And so, as Drew just noted there, I think it's an important thing to keep an eye on. Can Denny live at the free throw line in the playoffs? And if he can't, can he evolve his offensive game to still be a guy who can lead them offensively?
So there's a lot to look forward to in the new Dundon era, I think. I'm pretty hopeful, optimistic about it. Swag mentioned something about Tiago, getting Tiago some experience in the playoffs and seeing what Tiago is in a seven-game series, even if the other team is way better than you.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what that looks like tonight because it is a do-or-die game in a sense. You lose tonight, you only got one game, and, man, you got to win it to make your playoffs. Tiago Splitter has been a polarizing figure in this city for the last few weeks.
The head coach always is.
The head coach is the easiest thing. I've
Kerry
seen this.
Stotts
it happens
Chauncey
in every sport,
was.
Right? Yeah. Like, largely the coach or manager of any team is the one that people talk about the most.
Yeah.
And so there's some that are totally out on him. They don't think he's good. Somebody tweeted us last week about, like, he doesn't motivate them. And I said, specifically, what are you talking about? They never responded. So, like, people give criticisms and then don't always back it up. I'll hear every argument about it. He might be coaching for his job on this run. He might be coaching to be the guy that's just handed the keys from the interim to the permanent. Now, I don't know that for a fact, but what I will say about this is, and I don't know this to be true because I think I have said this to other people, we need to see how it actually plays out before the grandiose takeaways. But there's a lot of buzz on the streets that our owner might be going super cheap on the coaching hire.
Yeah.
Like, offensively cheap from an NBA coaching perspective. Now, whether that's true or not, I can't say with 100% confidence. All I'll say is the noise has been very loud that there has been, what? You're going to offer that for an NBA head coaching job? And if that's true, we'll find out eventually. But sure, I also wonder how much Thiago has a leg up if he wins tonight, if he wins the play-in, gets him into the playoff, maybe wins a game against the Spurs or the Thunder,
I think, feisty.
Like, if you're going to be somewhat cheap in a lot of categories, and indeed that is true on the coaching front, I don't know it to be certain, but it's loud right now. The buzz on the streets is, if that's true, I wonder if Thiago's just kind of the sneaky favorite because he might not cost as much as Taylor Jenkins, who led the Grizzlies into the playoffs a couple years ago.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be some names out there. Malone was certainly one of them, and then you see how much he gets paid at North Carolina, and you're like, you're not paying a coach that much. And the NBA just got fired in Denver a year ago. I'm not giving you $10
million. Some coaches make that kind of money, but sure, not some do,
who have won championships and have been around for a long time, and if you wanted to get like a Spoelstra out of Miami, if that finally came to an end, it would cost you an arm and a leg. I mean, the cheap coach thing is funny to me because we have no clue how it's going to pan out. My initial reaction to it, if they do end up making that move, is the cheap coach going to get arrested by the FBI too? Or was that just the last guy who had a one-year assistant run and was buddies with the GM, who then got fired the next year and had to drink a water bottle to shut down questions at a press conference?
I tend to believe he was kind of on the cheaper end as well.
Let's pump the brakes a little bit on the criticism before something has actually transpired.
I agree with that.
My philosophy. And I think if you win tonight, or win on Friday, and you make a little noise, I don't even know what we would define that as, but you're competitive in an opening playoff series. San Antonio, maybe you win a game, two or three of the games are competitive, and there's only like one dud in there, and you show, all right, hey, you just didn't get the, you know, they didn't mop the floor with you for four games and send you packing, and every game was double digits. I'm okay. I'm perfectly fine with them keeping Thiago Splitter. I have maintained this, and I will always maintain this. The most important thing in the NBA is the talent on the floor. Steve Kerr got pulled out of a broadcasting job to come coach the Warriors. He certainly knows a lot about basketball. And what happened? He won a title right away. Joel Mazzulla was this young up-and-coming cat in Boston. He's got a championship ring, doesn't he? Been to the playoffs a bunch. Why? Because the roster is incredibly talented. If you have good players, it can overcome anything. Look in Denver right now. Like, imagine thinking the former coach of Lincoln High School is going to be the head coach of the Denver Nuggets, and they might go to the conference finals. Why? Because they have the best player in the NBA. So the coaching stuff, if he does good and they look fine, keep him. I got no issue with that. And
I mean, just like an interview process is all I'm saying.
Open it up, sure, if you want to talk to some people. He's an interim coach, so you have the ability to do that, and he can be one of the leader primary candidates for it. He will be a cheaper option, I would imagine, because I don't think anything he's done this year is going to cause him to get a huge offer on the open market to go be a head coach somewhere else next year, but maybe I'm wrong on that. The most important thing will always be talent on the floor over head coaching. But I am curious to see how he handles certain situations if we get a tight competitive game. I brought up the stat yesterday that they have not been good in out of timeout, out of bounds plays this season.
Yep.
That's a huge part of winning playoff games. You're down by two with 38 seconds left. You're inbound on the ball. What do you draw up? Who do you go to? So there are things that you can keep an eye on to see how he handles it. And if he does enough, I have no issue with them coming back as head coach.
We'll see what happens, man. But a lot on the line in a lot of different ways, I think, for the franchise as they try to take a step forward and make the playoffs tonight. The play-in, 7 o'clock. That's, is it Prime Swag? Or is
Prime.
It's a Prime game.
Prime, Prime Video has the entire play-in tournament.
Do we have Ian Eagle?
Why is it so late? Why can't we start it earlier than 7 p.m.?
Because that's a normal start time.
Well, also,
West
it's teams? A doubleheader, so the first game's at 4:30.
Start the first one at 4.
Is 34 too old?
7 p.m. on the East Coast is too late to start the Hornets and the Heat. That's too late for them. 7 p.m. They got to start at 7:30.
I'm sorry, your bedtime has been pushed from 8:26 to 9:04.
7 o'clock is too late for games to start. 6:45 should be the cutoff.
My chocolate pudding at 8 o'clock. Yeah. So
I'm
going to
run for
bed.
President that no sporting events can start after 6:45, and then I'm going to resign office day one.
How do you think? I guess Suns fans are only an hour ahead.
Yeah, it's an 8.
No, they're the same time. They don't observe daylight savings. They're on the same time zone.
Are you sure about this? Because I'm texting Phoenix people, and they're telling me that time in which I add mountain time works or doesn't work for them.
Does our guest know he's coming on at 8, or is he thinking we're calling him at 9?
Because I feel like you're mixing up Vegas and Phoenix.
No, Vegas is in the Pacific time zone.
That's what I'm saying is I think Phoenix is mountain time right now.
They don't. Arizona does not observe
It is 7:44 a.m. in Phoenix, Arizona right now. It is the same time. Does our guest know that?
That's not what my Google said yesterday when I texted this.
I just Googled what time is it in Phoenix,
These
Arizona.
Mountain time people are weird.
It's just Arizona. They don't.
Arizona doesn't observe daylight savings.
I get it. Well, it's
so for half of the year they're an hour ahead.
But also you said Las Vegas is Pacific time. I just, you know, I got a whole thing in the map in my head and doesn't make any sense. Vegas.
No, there's actually a sliver of Oregon that's in Mountain Time.
Yeah,
none of this makes sense. This is all dumb.
Yes,
Mountain Time shouldn't exist.
Daylight savings shouldn't exist.
That's well, you're not wrong there.
Pick one and let's go.
Mountain Time is 1 hour. Just get on our clock or choose the Central.
What time
doing?
Is it in Hawaii, Dirt?
It's 3 hours behind.
It's 3 hours behind.
Because they don't observe daylight savings time
that
either.
That took a while to adjust to, for sure. Does our guest know that we're calling him in 15
I'll
minutes?
I'll text. Man, I don't know.
Okay.
I'll find out.
Did you ask him to come on at 8 a.m.? Did you say your time or just can you come on at 8 a.m.?
I said, are you available tomorrow at 8 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Mountain?
Yeah.
If he's on Pacific, then he read that.
He didn't correct you?
He said, sure thing, Brandon. Call me on this number.
Okay. Let's just send a
a reminder text?
A flare up. Just a...
By the way, West Coast guy, love going to Hawaii because I loved waking up at 6. Nobody else is awake.
No, yeah.
I go peruse the beach at 6 a.m.
The sports timings were the worst thing for anything. I remember looking at one of the Final Four games, and it was like 11 o'clock in the morning. I can't remember what time it was. I'm just like, they're already playing basketball? What's happening?
That's
right
a little
now?
Bit of a buzzkill.
It throws
kill
you
to be
off when it's that
four.
Early in the day. I mean, I didn't watch any of it. Yeah. We were at the beach.
The,
but I'm
the
like,
first NFL games kick at 7 a.m.
That's early. That's early.
The wildest one to this date is me seeing Monday Night Football Tuesday morning in Vietnam.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
What?
What? What day is it?
8
right
a.m.?
Let's go. Hey, early morning.
I got a breakfast buffet and Monday Night Football here on a Tuesday morning.
It's a wraparound day. Tuesday morning football.
We'll find out if our son's guest is abiding by our time or a different time. We'll figure that out. Let's pause. Which one is the bigger deal from yesterday? And I'll tell you what I'm talking about next on The Fan.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, John has not responded in Phoenix. Stay tuned on that one.
Thinks he's got an interview coming up in an hour and 10 minutes.
The Pacific time is the first time on the text.
I just love that we talked about this after the show, and I verbatim said, I don't think Arizona observes daylight savings time.
You, I literally Googled it after you said it to double check.
You clearly didn't Google it correctly. Whatever you typed in was not what you needed to type in.
You know, I've become really good on the time zones. The Vegas Phoenix thing has just broken my brain. I'm never right on it.
Look, your overarching argument is 100% correct. They are stupid. They should not exist. Daylight savings time should go away. Mountain time. You think you're better than us? Mountain time.
Are you 1 hour better than us?
Get out of here.
Have a later sunset, you losers.
And move the start times up. All right. What are we doing?
Well, that's
6:45. Okay.
What do you think was the bigger deal to witness in person? Paul Skeen, 6 innings, 1 earned run, and the Pirates are a wagon, 10-6, housing the Nationals. Or Aaron Judge and Mike Trout each hitting 2 home runs.
I mean, come on. It's
in the same game.
It's not even close. You're talking about two of the best power hitters in the history of the game. Two of the faces of, you could argue, the last two faces of the sport. Shohei's obviously involved in that as well, but two of the biggest faces of the sport over the last decade.
Is Trout.
Each hit, not anymore, but he was for a while.
He was.
One of the greatest. Actually, he's the greatest player under the age of 27 in the history of baseball.
That nobody watched.
I mean, people did watch because they were in the playoffs, and he had a, I mean, people did pay. They've been
Mike Trout?
It's been a while since he was 27 years old. Do you understand how old Mike Trout is now?
How many playoff games has Mike Trout been in?
He's been in four.
So, we watched? Did we?
I watched. I watched all three of them. They lost to the Royals, I remember.
I saw they those, too. Swept. Yeah.
So, I watched. You can't say nobody watched, because I watched. And he was the face of the league.
You know
for
what
like,
nobody watched means.
Sure. He was the I mean, to argue that he wasn't the face of the league is ridiculous. He was the face of the league for, like, 6 years. He was the
over
most.
Over Bryce Harper?
Yeah, without a doubt. He was a better player than Bryce Harper, and it's not even a debate.
Yeah. Agree or disagree, sir?
Go look up any number that you want.
Well, being the best player, face of the league and best player isn't always the same thing.
Sure.
LeBron is debatably
bigger
than...
How is Bryce Harper a bigger face of the sport than Mike Trout?
Because he talks, because he's played on better teams.
Okay. They also never did anything in Washington. They always lost in the playoffs.
But they were in the playoffs.
We're arguing something really ridiculous right now. Mike Trout was a very good player in the face of baseball.
I think you're arguing best player versus face of the league, which those can be different things.
Sure, he won multiple MVPs. He was the best player under the age of 27. Statistically speaking, in the history, his WAR under the age of 27 is greater than any player in the history of the sport. Mm-hmm. And he hit two home runs, and Judge hit two home runs in the same game. It's a pretty big deal.
Good stats, bad team guy. Do it on a real team.
I mean, I get the overall take of Mike Trout that you bring up, but, like, to dispel what he was, like, he hasn't been this in a long time. To
I know.
Dispel his, like, 22 to 27-year-old seasons.
Well, I think I'm speaking to a lot of sports fans that it's frustration that it's been so
well,
on
that
the
ship has
burner.
Sailed. Like, he's 34 years old now. Like,
yeah,
that's gone
I know,
now.
But
this we're talking about a debate from 9 years ago.
But if you, no, it's not a debate. His numbers are not debatable. I'm not debating the numbers. I'm saying in the prime of the career and the numbers in which you speak, how many Sunday night baseball games did he get compared to other guys?
I can't.
Because
these
teams
question.
Just were largely not good.
I think, yeah.
So, like, the whole nobody watched thing doesn't mean literally nobody watched. It's just a phrasing of, we didn't all watch Angels baseball. I didn't have the extra inning package.
How many national games were you watching?
Well, more because they played the Braves.
Okay, well,
and also, the Nationals were actually... No, but there is a thing here, though. The Nationals were at least a playoff team. You can say they choked. I won't disagree with you on that until Bryce Harper left, coincidentally. But they had more national games, it felt like, than the other team did because they at least were playoff worthy.
Yeah, I mean, you can watch more games because you're in your division.
That's
not
all
like
I'm
we're
saying.
Glued to Nationals games on Sunday night baseball.
Totally
you can
get
make
it.
That argument for literally any player. How many times do you watch a nationally televised baseball game? It doesn't happen very often. And again, I think we're also memory-holing a little bit. Like, the Angels have never been great outside of their one run, but they were a more relevant team in those years with Trout than they have been the last...
Only because of him, yeah.
In the last 7 or 8 years,
right.
They've fallen off a cliff, and he has fallen off a cliff as a player because he can't stay healthy.
That's his problem, is injuries.
But when you look at from 2012 to 2019, that seven-year run, it's one of the best 7 years runs we've ever seen in the sport.
I don't disagree with that.
And he was the best player in the sport and the face of the sport.
So the best player in a sport, just for the record, is the face of the sport in every sport?
Not always to me,
yeah.
But I think, yeah, I would say he was a bigger face than Bryce Harper was at
Swag,
that time.
Who was the face of the sport in those prime Trout years to you, in that era of baseball?
I knew more about Harper. I knew Trout was good. And he would show up on highlights making diving catches and hitting home runs. But there was more excitement, more national attention paid to Harper.
Yeah.
He was a more controversial player. People had opinions on him more than they did Mike Trout. Trout was he just great.
He was
and he
quiet
can't win
and
in
he
the
was
playoffs.
Great. Yeah, he was Paul Bunyan. He didn't talk much and his team was not amazing. That's all I'm saying is, like, I'm not arguing a numbers thing. It's clearly Trout, but... I think from a face of sport thing,
Harper drew more eyeballs on a regular basis from the time he was on Sports Illustrated when he was 17. And
that's what I tend to believe as well. Yeah.
I agree. I mean, I love how we
how about our rage debate of
we remember
today?
TV ratings from 2017 and he drew more eyeballs.
I just don't recall anybody watching Angels games. Like, you can
we
hate
don't
the
do
Nationals.
This with any team.
What do you mean?
In baseball, you don't watch any games other than your team's games.
That's not true. The Yankees get good eyeballs.
Because they're...
The Cubbies.
Okay.
The Red Sox.
All right.
You don't watch Bobby Witt Jr. games?
You going to watch the National TVS game tonight?
Damn right I am.
Who's playing in the game?
It's that team, dude. It's the matchup.
That team,
matchup.
Of course. I was watching all those national games from 2012 to 2017. I'm
trying to see where Shahadi's at right now. She's on MLB Network.
I literally think
she's
in Atlanta.
Oh.
It's your team.
It's the Bravos. How about that?
He was more talked about, sure. The eyeball thing is if we were glued to Nationals games.
Who's the face of the NBA to you?
LeBron.
Yeah.
And Steph.
Yep. That's the unfortunate
end
nature.
Of the conversation.
There you go.
They're the face of the league.
And they're not the
She's
best.
She's in Philadelphia. It's Cubs in Philadelphia.
You were Cubs close. You close. Almost got me on that one.
NL East.
Yeah, there you go. NL East. All right. A lot more to get into in the third hour. We have the most random sports debates when we debate. It's the most dumb, like, Jalen Waddle or Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I will cape up a little bit for Mike Trout.
I know you will.
He's ruined his career by sticking in Anaheim, and I'll never forgive him for that.
His injuries have ruined his career more than even Anaheim.
We can't poo-poo the – like, he was one of the greatest players for a seven-year stretch
Not
we
a
have
doubt
ever
in my mind.
Seen in the history of the sport.
I think we're kind of arguing two different things there.
Sure.
Weirdly.
Sure.
I have no response. I don't know what to do here.
Okay.
We don't have a.
We can try and call him, see if he answers.
We can call him, but I'm afraid he's going to be like, I thought you said nine. And then we're going to wake him up. He's got a game tonight. We'll find out what happens in the third hour. We may or may not have the voice of the Phoenix Suns loaded third hour of the radio program. Don't forget, it's Mail Sack Tuesday, 503-864-6326, hour three on the Fan.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.